This is the Apostle Paul's God story. This testimony tells us what he did in his first days after he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Our reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 11 to 24. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source. Nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I did not lie, that I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God because of me. This ends the reading. That's Paul's God story. A few weeks ago, Pastor Brad and I did a sermon series called God Stories. One of the things that Pastor Brett encouraged us to do was to tell our church's God story. What would you say if somebody asked you about the history of this church? How has God worked in and through the lives of the people here over the last 213 years? My hope today is to provide you with an overview of our history, while highlighting a few significant events in the life of the church. In other words, I want to give my view of our church's God story. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus forms the church on the rock of Peter's faith. From that moment, the church grew in number and in extent. John and Charles Wesley began the Methodist movement in England in response to a need for spiritual accountability in the Anglican church. That was the church that they were a part. This movement spread as the Wesley brothers took the gospel outdoors to the least of these. They never intended to start a new church. They only wanted to reform the one that they were a part. However, the Spirit of God led those early Methodists to organize. In America, on Christmas Eve, 1784, Francis Asbury and Thomas Coke were appointed as the first bishops of the newly organized Methodist Episcopal Church. Methodists first began meeting in Xenia in 1803 after Frederick Bonner moved his family to Ohio from Virginia. The Bonner home served as a meeting place for Methodists in Greene County. The Reverend John Sale was the first minister appointed to the Miami district. He was appointed by the bishop in 1804. These early American Methodist pastors were known as circuit riders. circuit riders would go from church to church, and how do you think they got from church to church? On horseback, by horses. Xenia was a stop on John Sayles' circuit. Okay, how many different circuit riders do you think the Methodist Church had in its first 25 years? In our last 25 years, we've had about 5 different lead pastors. How many did they have in the first 25 years? 5. 1. 2. They had 51 different pastors, about one every 6 months. I am thankful I was not the associate pastor back then. We'd always be in transition. Frederick Bonner's daughter, Nancy, married the Reverend John Sale. If you are interested, one of the Bibles that Reverend Sale used is located in a cabinet in the narthex. The Bible was printed in 1853. It was gifted to the church by the Sale family in 1977. The Bonner Family Cemetery is located on the Wolf Farm. And I talked to Marguerite this morning, and she said, just call her and she would take you on a tour. The first Methodist meeting house was built in 1816 on West 2nd Street. That's a picture. It was a 30 by 40 foot building. The Reverend Arza Brown was the first preacher at the church who wasn't a circuit rider. First Methodist Episcopal Church was built in 1845. First Methodist was a stone building constructed on the same site as the meeting house. Sunday school started in 1854. In 1864, the congregation voted to plant a second Methodist church at East Main and North Monroe. This congregation was called Trinity Church. So you had First Methodist on the west side of town and Trinity on the east side. Now, why do you think they had 2 churches, one on each side of town? Reach more people, right. And the roads were unpaved. There was no sidewalks. And most people walked to church. And they couldn't negotiate the weather. Like you were saying, the weather sometimes is horrible. In the wintertime, having a church on the east side allowed those people to go to Trinity, and the people on the west side would go to First. So you know, Trinity Church was active for 100 years before being raised in 1972. The stained glass windows in the back of the sanctuary are from the former Trinity Church. The pipe organ is from the former First Methodist Church. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 43, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" During the 1960s, First Methodist and Trinity voted to become one congregation and to build a new church building. 2 years later, these historic congregations joined together to form Faith Community United Methodist. The name Faith Community was chosen by combining the 2 finalists suggested by the congregation, Faith and Community. How many names do you think were submitted when they first started out? 115 different names were suggested for the name of this congregation. 2 distinct groups emerged. Reverend Raymond Pope said that only a handful of votes separated the 2 groups. So the committee came up with an alternative. The 2 names were merged and something new was formed. It was written that both names, Faith and Community, have a deep meaning, but the name Faith Community seemed even more appropriate. We are a faith community, was what was said after the days of the merger. Marty Supp was one of the people on the naming committee for the new church. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "For as there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, the same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Reverend Pope said the groundbreaking for the new church would be different than typical groundbreaking ceremonies where only the most influential people are involved. I remember going to the groundbreaking for Tecumseh's new elementary school, and they had the principal and the PTO president and the mayor and the builder and the superintendent. I was way in the back. I was not invited to be part of that. That's a typical groundbreaking. Who do you think was involved in the groundbreaking on this, not the community center, I'm talking about the sanctuary and the education wing? Who was involved in that? Some of you probably were part of that. The entire congregation was invited to be part of it. They had a plow with a long rope attached to the plow, and everybody in the church got a chance to pull the plow. From the youngest members of the church to the oldest, everybody got to be part of that. On that day, Reverend Pope gave a sermon called, "Shall We Build a Temple or a Tomb?" The congregation celebrated its first service in the new sanctuary on September 17, 1972. In 1971, expenditures for the new building totaled around $600,000. This did not include the community center where we're at today. The congregation approved the expenditures with over a 90% approval rating, approval vote. It took 10 years to pay off the debt on the building, and once they paid it off, they had a worship service where they dedicated the building to the glory of God. It is my understanding that the building became an emergency shelter and served as the government relief headquarters for the city of Xenia after the 1974 tornado. The Housing and Urban Development Agency used the church to provide services for displaced people. Other churches used our sanctuary for their worship services too. I've been personally told that the spirit of cooperation is appreciated then and even now by Mayor Bayless. She still appreciates what this church did back in the 70s. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Outreach is a key word used at Faith Community. Our church family participates in many outreach ministries which work towards the betterment of our community. I've been told by a Presbyterian, so somebody not part of our church, somebody who goes to a different church, that one of the best things done by this church was to allocate the property where First Church was located to the construction of low-cost apartment housing for seniors. A task force committed to the downtown ministry approved the construction of the John Sale Manor. Are you familiar with this building? On April 25th, 1976, the groundbreaking ceremonies were held at the site of the John Sale Manor. On December 20th, 1976, the first residents moved into the high-rise. I'm going to ask you again, who do you think was a part of the groundbreaking ceremonies for John Sale Manor? There were three people. Do you know who they are or anything about them? One of them was Darlene Shear, daughter of John and Sharon Shear. And at the time, she was a teenager. They had three youth involved in the groundbreaking. They were the ones that got to use the shovels first at this site. The youth were and continue to be an important part of our outreach at Faith Community. John Sale Manor was one of the largest post-tornado developments in downtown Xenia. Other outreach ministries at Faith Community include support for the Xenia Fish Food Pantry, the Xenia Community Schools, the Caring Place, Jackson Area Ministries Garden Project, Mission Trips, Interfaith Hospitality Network, Special Olympics, and Shoes for the Shoeless. This church has been blessed by over 100 years of service from the United Methodist Women and 29 years of service from the United Methodist Men, also known as the Men of Faith. Since 1988, the church has supported the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. In fact, we will honor Christopher Shaw as an Eagle Scout at 2 p.m. this afternoon. 5 people from Faith Community have entered either part-time or full-time ministry. In 1980, Faith Community opened a preschool. Our preschool is the longest-running continuous preschool in Xenia. Our preschool students have everything they need for a great start in kindergarten. In 1986, the church, this is historic. In 1986, the church bought a computer. I do know how they managed. If you know Frances Downing, before they computerized their records, she hand wrote every single thing to document giving, records, attendance, everything. How she did it, I have no idea. Another outreach ministry that we are known for is Common Cup. Common Cup began in 2003. Through this shared ministry model, 14 United Methodist churches work together to serve a wonderful meal every Wednesday night. During the school year, growth groups follow the meal. I just want to say that today, we remember Phyllis Williams, who entered into glory yesterday. Phyllis was one of our founding members, food court coordinator, and treasurer for many years. We have many fond memories of Phyllis while she was with us here in Xenia. Needless to say, Common Cup, and I will include this worship service, wouldn't be possible if not for the community center. In 1993, the administrative board appointed a building and needs committee to study the future requirements of the church. The groundbreaking for the community center took place on September 1st, 1998. The community center hadn't been in existence very long when another tornado hit the city of Xenia and destroyed major parts of this building. The tornado hit on Wednesday, September 20th, 2000. Faith Community held its worship services at Xenia High School during the reconstruction. It took a year to repair the damage on the church. The community center has been a tremendous asset for the church ever since. From 1803 until today, that's 213 years. Christians called Methodist have been a part of this community, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Why would I go to such lengths to share the history of this church? It is because this story is more than history. It is sacred history. History tells us our human history. Sacred history tells us our God story. You are a part of this church's God story. You are a part of Faith Community's sacred history. Amen.